This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring a discussion on India's decisive fight against Naxalism. The participants are MP Nathaniel, former Inspector General CRPF, and Joseph John, Senior Journalist. The moderator is Rahul Tripathi, journalist.
Welcome to the program Current Affairs. Today we will be discussing government's mission for Naxal Mukt Bharat Abhiyan. To talk on this, we have in our studio MP Nathaniel, former IG CRPF and senior journalist from Raipur, Mr. Joseph John. Let's first listen to what the Prime Minister Narendra Modi said on this.
Aaj Naxalwad ka, Maowad ka daira bahut teju se sikud raha hai. Maowad ko, Naxalwad ko jad se ukhadne ke sankalp ke saath desh ke suraksha bal ek naye aatmavishwas se tej gati se safalta ki aur kadam rakh rahe hain. और मैं गर्व से कह सकता हूं देश में सैकड़ों जिले नक्सल की चपेट में से निकल करके आज मुक्ति का सांस ले रहे हमें गर्व है कि बम बंदूक और पिस्तौल के सामने हमारा देश का संविधान जीत रहा है.
As most of you are aware that the Naxal problem has existed in various districts. Earlier it was over 100 districts which were affected by a Naxal problem. And this started in 1967 from Naxal Bari in West Bengal. Now recently the government revised their districts which are worst affected, most affected categories. First it was brought down to 18 and then it has been recently pruned up to 11 districts. So far, only 11 districts across the states are affected by Maoist. And this includes, one is Chhattisgarh and Jharkhand mainly. So let's discuss this. Sir, what is the mission and how do the government plan to achieve this?
In fact, I have been always asserting that though the government has given March 31st as the final date by which we would get rid of the Naxalites, I am of the view that this should be over by December 31st of this year itself because of the way the operations are being conducted all across Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand and Odisha incessantly after the Naxalite, and they are not finding place to now stay anywhere for even a little longer time. They are on the run all the time, and because of that their morale has gone down terribly. Most of their leaders have either been killed and many of them have surrendered in the recent past. Because of this, without the leadership, they are finding it difficult to continue with their movement, and they know that at the end of it, they are not going to achieve anything, and they have simply wasted 3-4 decades surviving in the jungles. They are bereft of a comfortable family life. So because of that, now the Naxalites are on the run. They know the forces will get them somehow because of the robust kind of intelligence setup that we have. Earlier, this kind of intelligence was not easily forthcoming, largely because these guys were hiding in the jungles of Abujamrad, which was not accessible to the security forces very easily. But with the construction of roads all across the last 2 years, the communication system has become so good that the vehicles are now able to reach any place within a short time. So because of that, the intelligence gathering system also has been much benefited, and the information that we are getting, it is pinpoint information because of which the operations are being carried out, and these operations are successful because of the surprise element of the security forces. The Naxalites are caught unawares and suddenly they find they are surrounded by the security forces, and in the encounter many of them have been killed in the recent past, and the remaining Naxalites, they are aware of the fact that either they are to get killed now or the only other option is to surrender before the security forces, before the government. And the government of Chhattisgarh has come out with a very good rehabilitation program. After the Chief Minister Vishnu Dev Sai took over as CM, he has done a great job in coming out with a fantastic rehabilitation program in which the surrendered militants are given about 50,000 rupees each immediately at the time of surrender. And apart from that, they are also given houses to stay, and then they'll be given skill training, and in course of time they'll be all settled in some job or the other, and they'll be able to stay together with their families. And now they must be having a great relief, particularly those who have surrendered, that now they'll lead a normal family life which they were missing all these past 3-4 decades.
Mr. Joseph Zorn, my question is to you about the killings. How do you see these killings? Are there encounters? Is there any voice which is being raised? So how do you see these killings? Because those killings are taking in large numbers.
The encounters are taking place and which is resulting in elimination of Maoists. But the issue of killings, we cannot generalize it so lightly because there is a thin line. Whenever there is an encounter, there will be hue and cry from the human rights activists that human rights have been violated. That is a broad subject to be discussed. But once what has happened now is that when the pressure has been mounted, the Maoists are coming in troops to surrender. Today only the 210 Maoists surrendered in Jagdalpur before the chief minister. And a few days ago, senior Maoist leader Bhupati and 60 others surrendered in Maharashtra. So what I see that the recent wave of Maoist surrenders is not an isolated event, but part of a clear downward trend in their organizational strength across Bastar. So there are also reports about decline in recruitment and their morale is down. And they are not getting the logistic support which they were getting much earlier. Then again, the second line and third line leaders, in fear of getting eliminated, they are coming forward and surrendering. But since these second and third line leaders form the operational backbone of their movement, so in any case, this is on a downward trend. Yes, if anybody is determined to fight with the, they will get eliminated in the encounters.
Sir, can you please explain to our listeners, there has been large number of central committee members who have surrendered or have been killed. So for our young listeners, if you can give us a sight into what does this central committee members mean and what is their hierarchy in the banned CPI Maoist structure? And what is a military committee? What is a central committee?
See, the central committee is the main decision-taking body. And within the central committee, they've got a Politburo, which has the main leaders. The ones who take the decisions and pass it on to the central committee, and thereafter it percolates down to the other ranks also. Then they have a separate military commission, which is mainly armed, and they have their own command structure. And they are the ones who are actually on the ground attacking the security forces. So now that the top leaders of Politburo and central committee are surrendering, the morale of these Naxalites has definitely gone down. And with the morale going down, we can expect more such surrenders. Within the last 2 days, 258 Maoists have surrendered. And I am sure that this will influence many others who are underground now. They will also come over and surrender so that they also lead a comfortable life. So the only choice is that they come out, and the one main leader who is now a troublesome character for the security forces is Hidma, and Hidma happened to be conducting several operations against security forces in the past, and he has somehow been able to evade the cordon of security forces in different places. But now the entire focus of the security forces would be on Hidma, and once he is captured, I am sure that the entire structure of Naxalite will crumble, particularly in the states of Chhattisgarh. This Hidma is a resident of village Poverty in Sukma, where the security forces have now got their bases established. And because of that, he is not able to move around in Chhattisgarh. And the suspicion is that he is moving around in places around Telangana and maybe around Maharashtra also. But at the same time, he knows that his days are numbered, and it is better for him in his own interest to come over ground, surrender along with all the boys that he has. I am sure once he surrenders, he comes over ground with about 100-150 fellows, and that will be a great achievement. And then we can comfortably say that the Maoist menace has been completely wiped out in this country.
If you recall, former Prime Minister Manmohan Singh in 2020 has described Naxalism as biggest internal security threat. Now that we are seeing that it is being eliminated, so what do you think it took so long for the government to take decisive action? Was it development? Was it a lack of will? What exactly was the hindrance?
Earlier, we did not have that many security forces manning the area in Chhattisgarh and Jharkhand and all. But once the security forces were inducted in large number, they were able to then penetrate into Abushman and other areas where they were having their hideouts. And because of that, penetration of the security forces in Abujamad and other places, the Naxals have had to flee from those places. And because of the operations conducted a few months back in Karegutta, their only base that they were having a stronghold, that also has been demolished. And now they are on the run everywhere. Another factor that was contributing to the success is that we have been able to construct roads all across Chhattisgarh, because of which the security forces have been able to penetrate easily. Earlier, whenever security forces moved on the roads, which were kacha roads, they had planted bombs and they were able to even damage the vehicles of security forces. But now there is no such fear. With the help of CRPF, that is Central Reserve Police Force, they were able to construct the roads in different places. And because of the roads communication, the vehicles have been able to move around to every village. And even when there's some information received by the security forces, they are able to reach there at the shortest possible time. And that is the main reason that we have been able to achieve great success. And of course, drones and dogs also have been used in a large number during the last few years. Apart from that, a very robust intelligence. Earlier, we were not able to get intelligence of the kind that we are getting now, largely because we were only dependent on technical input earlier. Whereas with the occupation of Abujamad and other areas by the security forces, now we are able to get human intelligence also from the ground level itself. And that has largely helped in getting pinpointed information, and we are able to carry out operations in large numbers and persist in chasing these fellows and eliminate them wherever there are encounters.
We also hear and report on that forward operating base, FOBs, being constructed by CRPF has played a game-changing role, and also the role of locals in district reserve guards. If you can explain to our listener, what are these broadly, and give them an idea how they work.
District Reserve Guards is actually comprising of largely the boys from Bastar itself. And they are very well conversant with the area. They have the area on their fingertips like the palm of their hands. And because they have the full knowledge of the terrain, they are able to successfully lead the forces wherever the security forces are launching operations. And because of that, we have been able to achieve great success. And apart from that, of course, because of the Central Armed Police Forces, we have been able to achieve success because of the modernized weapons, and also because of the leadership of the security forces, and also because they have the know-how to carry out such operations against the Naxalites. In fact, they are all trained as commandos, mainly the Cobra battalions. They have been trained to remain in jungles for days together, and they have been able to do extremely well over there. As far as the forward operating bases are concerned, these were established few months back, and gradually we have been able to dominate the entire area with the FOBs. The FOBs are the CRPF camps which are right in Abujamad area, and they are easily accessible to the villagers also. And because of their presence in the Abujamad area, the people are able to come forward and give information. Plus, the security forces are able to help them out in different matters. In fact, recently CRPF had given 1,048 radio sets to the villagers, which were earlier not available with them. And now, because of the mobile towers also erected over there, and the communication having been established in an excellent manner, they are able to now gain access to the world outside through the radio sets, through the television sets, and through even the mobile set that they have.
Now let's listen to what Home Minister Amit Shah said on the issue.
देश में नक्सलवादी समस्या क्यों पनपी, क्यों बढ़ी, क्यों विकसित हुई, इसका वैचारिक पोषण किसने किया, और जब तक भारत का समाज इन नक्सलवाद के विचार का वैचारिक पोषण, लीगल समर्थन और वित्तीय पोषण करने वाले समाज में बैठे हुए लोगों को समझ नहीं लेता है और उन लोगों को हम वापिस नहीं लाते हैं, तब तक नक्सलवाद के खिलाफ लड़ाई समाप्त नहीं हो जाएगी.
Mr. John, my question is to you, what does this Pashupati to Tirupati corridor means, and where is it going? We also recently saw some protest in neighboring Nepal, which was over the ban on social media. So do you think that it is any more that you carry a gun and roam around in the jungle, instead the revolution is on the phones, like the social media?
Pashupati to Tirupati, this concept was propagated by the Maoists itself to point out that they want to establish control from Pashupati to Tirupati till below Andhra through Jharkhand, Chhattisgarh, Dandakaranya and all these places. But now over the last so many years, over the decades, this thing has tapered down. Now the Maoists are only confined to serve only certain pockets. Now the ground realities are also shifting because over the last one decade, connectivity and governance, it has gradually reached the areas which we used to earlier call it as liberated zones of Dandakaranya. And specifically talking about Bastar and that tri-junction involving Maharashtra, Orissa and all this place, Andhra and all these places. Now, over the last years, gradually roads, mobile network and panchayat level institutions, they have started asserting. This is also one reason for the decline. Then there is also a fatigue. What we have been feeling is that there is also a fatigue among villagers who have been facing this fear, violence and displacement for the last several years. You might be knowing that Salwajudum violence, which started in 2008, went on for two, three years. So the villagers have developed a fatigue. That is also one reason for the they are not getting local support.
So now that you have mentioned about Salwajudum, if you can explain to our listeners, what was it and how did it culminate?
Salwajudum was started in around June 2008 or so. And it started as a vigilante movement against Maoists. But over a period of a few months, it escalated into very conflict between pro-Maoist supporters and Maoist supporters, and Maoists started attacking them. Vigilante started. It has developed and created a situation where those who are opposing the Maoists have started saying, either you are with us or you are with the Maoists. Maoists also started saying, either you are with us or you are with the vigilantes. So this has led to large-scale displacement, large-scale violence, and lot of villagers, more than a lakh villagers, had to take shelter in the relief camps. So by year 2010, it got tapered out. The violence stopped. For almost 2 years, there it was violence and bloodshed in Bastar.
Now let's listen to what the Home Minister said in Parliament.
मैं सबसे पहले एक बात इस सदन में जिम्मेदारी के साथ बताना चाहता हूं 21 मार्च 2026 को इस देश से नक्सलवाद समाप्त और मैं जो बोल रहा हूं इसके पीछे नरेंद्र मोदी सरकार के 10 साल का परिश्रम
वी आल्सो कम अक्रॉस अ टर्म यूज्ड अर्बन नक्सल्स व्हाट आर दे एंड हाउ डू दे इन्फ्लुएंस एंड वेयर डिड दिस टर्म कम फ्रॉम
I don't think there is anybody you can be identified as an urban Naxal. But the most, this means there might be sympathizers, there might be people who might be raising very minute human rights violation issues. Because in Bastar, there have been incidents of random killings of villagers. Two judicial commissions have come up with certain findings that the security forces have fired upon the villagers accidentally by in fear or something like that. I will have to say, since I am in Chhattisgarh for the last, say, 25 years, and I have also come across certain activist-type people who have been very sympathetic towards the Maoist cause.
We recently read about killing of the CPI Maoist president. Who was he? Can you please tell us this guy named Basavaraju?
Basavaraju, in fact, was the general secretary and he was passing all orders to the ranks and file of Naxalite, and he was a much wanted man, actually surrounded by his own security people, most of them women, in the jungles, and information was received by the security forces and he was rounded up, and in the encounter that followed, he was killed along with all others who were serving as his guards over there in the jungles. So he was a very important man, and now his place has been taken away by Tripti Tirupati. Now he is the general secretary who has taken over, consequent to the death of Basavaraju. And of course, because of the general secretary thing also, there has been some controversy within the Maoists. This man, Abhay Venugopal Rao, he was aspiring to be the general secretary. But he is a Brahmin. Whereas the other guy, Tirupati, he is from the scheduled caste. So because of his being made, so Malujola Venugopal Rao, he decided to surrender. In fact, his wife had already surrendered earlier to Maharashtra government. So that was one factor which further served as a catalyst to his coming forward for surrendering.
Akashwani spoke to Special IG Nagpur, Sandeep Patil. Let's listen to what he had to say about Naxal Mukt Bharat Abhiyan and the recent operation in which Abhay surrendered.
What is the significance of the surrender of Bhupati along with 60 other Naxalites in Gadchiroli the day before yesterday? And how has it affected the whole Naxalite movement, especially in Maharashtra?
The surrender of Maoist ideologue Bhupati is a turning point in the history of Maoist movement in the Maharashtra and Dandakaranya. Currently, Bhupati Lai Sonu, he is a number one in the party. Number one means he can be considered as a de facto general secretary. When de facto general secretary surrenders, it is as good as whole CPI Maoist party has surrendered. So I think you must have seen along with him 60 Maoists have surrendered, and on next day around 200 Maoists have surrendered in Chhattisgarh. And today Honorable Union Home Minister has declared that North Bastar and areas of Gadchiroli have been cleared of Maoism. So 70% area which was earlier affected in Chhattisgarh has been cleared within the 3 days of surrender of Bhupati. So that is the significance of his surrender. He was an ideologue. That is, the party has its ideology based on Maoist ideas. So he was very important to motivate the cadres. He was very popular among the cadres. His surrender, what we'd say in the Adhyatmic terms, Atma of party has gone out. So now the body, which is, I think, a lifeless body, has been left back. And I think it will be finished up in months to come together before March 2026.
How this milestone is significant in the development of Gadchiroli and Maharashtra as a state?
Honorable Chief Minister of Maharashtra, who is a guardian minister of Gadchiroli also, he has his vision to make Gadchiroli as the new Jamshedpur, that is the steel hub of India. And with his vision, largest steel plant in India is being set up in Gadchiroli by Jindal Group. And already Lloyd Metal and Energy has its largest single location iron ore mine in Gadchiroli. So last 4 years, Gadchiroli police has been successful on the both the fronts, operational front as well as developmental front, to eliminate Maoists, neutralize Maoists. At the same time, hundreds of Maoists have surrendered in last 4 years. So that has cleared northern part in the end of last year, and today southern part has been cleared in this within 1 year. So I think security scenario has dramatically improved now with no threat of Maoist. A huge investment is coming into district of Gadchiroli, and yesterday Honorable Chief Minister said 3 lakh crore investment is coming in Gadchiroli and the neighboring district of Chandrapur. So cessation of violence or improvement in the security scenario is going to be a real boost to not only Gadchiroli and Chandrapur but whole of the Vidarbh region, which has been over the years a backward region of Maharashtra.
My next question to you is that as we see that most of the top leadership is aging, they are old, somebody 60, somebody 70, and there is lack of leadership, and as you just now told that the younger leadership is disappointed. So is that the reason for decline in this?
In fact, there are several reasons. Earlier, whenever an encounter used to take place, the Maoists used to carry the dead bodies of their comrades who were killed in the encounters. But gradually what happened is they started leaving the dead bodies, and the dead body used to be recovered by the security forces. Earlier, it had become very difficult for security forces to come out with a figure as to how many Maoists were killed in operation. But consequent to these fellows leaving the dead bodies, it has become easy for the security forces to assess as to how many have been killed and bring their dead bodies. And there is a lack of bondage between the rank and file also. Recently, one of the women ex-lite was trying to plant a bomb in Bijapur. And while trying to plant a bomb, it exploded and she got severe injuries in her ankle. And the other Naxalites who were with her, they just fled from the spot. And it was the villagers who had come there, taken her to a nearby dispensary. After that, the CRPF men then took her to the hospital and got her treated also. So now you see that cohesion that existed between the Maoist rank, that has also appeared with passage of time. And of course, now with all these surrenders taking place, there's a particular section which feel that those who have surrendered are traitors. Now with this, there will be more problems among the Maoists, and in fact, many more are expected to come over ground and surrender after the surrender of these 258 Maoists in the last 2-3 days.
CPI Maoists used to run Jantana Sarkar. They run Jantana Sarkar. And in that, a police informers, particularly the local villagers, is punished publicly. Do you think that is also the reason for the shrinking of CPI Maoists?
The support base is already vanished for the Maoists in that area. In recent times, within last 2-3 years, they have killed about 12 BJP workers. Apart from that, they have killed 40 civilians also. So this definitely goes towards antagonizing the civilian population, and the Maoists cannot expect any support from the villagers because of their resorting to this kind of killing of villagers itself. And some of them happen to be relatives of police personnel. They are being made the target, even though they are not actually police informers. So because of this kind of atrocities being committed by them, they are losing the base support from the villagers in Maoist areas.
Mr. John, your views on the Jantana Sarkar and the kind of justice they call it serve at the local level?
I think such incidents have not happened in the very recent past. Earlier it was during Salwajudum days, and years later it went on for. But of late it is the incidents have come down drastically.
Because they don't have as many districts as they used to command earlier. Is that the so? Or what is the trend that you see on the ground?
The trend as of now is that the things have drastically changed. And of late, I have not come across any reports of they holding such kangaroo courts and killing people. So earlier it was there. But as of now, it has incidents have become very less.
As we have read in news reports that over a period of time, they have targeted 40 civilians, like an Anganwadi worker or somebody who they believe is an informer.
Yes. They have the core ideology may be weakened there. But the local grievances and governance gap, they can still be exploited by these small groups. So the real test is in the sustaining the development and trust which has developed over the years. Small incidents will be there because the small groups are there. They are still operating in the interior belts of Sukma, Bijapur and certain places. So you have to sustain this development and you have to sustain the trust which is gaining now.
So can you tell us about this person named Madhavi Hidma? He is wanted by various agencies, central agencies, National Investigation Agency. So why is he still out there?
Yeah, Hidma was involved in various major incidents of violence in Bastar. But since the pressure from the security forces have mounted, he might have moved to some other interior places, either in Maharashtra or some nearby places into the interior forest. Yes, still, he is not in a position to operate so freely in the areas of Chhattisgarh. I don't think he will be able to continue like this for long.
And this surrender about this Bhupati, how important is it, if you can tell our listeners?
It has got a significance of its own because such a top leader of the Maoist group who used to operate in Chhattisgarh also, he preferred Maharashtra to surrender. That is being discussed why it is happening.
And if you can tell our listeners about his elder brother who was killed in West Bengal, Kishanji.
Yeah, Kishanji was a central committee member and he was a much wanted guy. And he is the one who brought this fellow also into the Naxalite activities. And he was killed in operations in Bengal by Cobra Battalion. That was sometime in 2011. And his wife also had surrendered. So she surrendered some years back and they are all overground. So like that you see this Abhay's family members, most of them have come overground and they are now not much involved in Naxal activities. And Kishanji, of course, he was a very top leader and because of his being killed, it was a big loss to the Maoists and their movement suffered to a great extent. And in fact, Bengal was free from Naxal activity thereafter.
With this, we come to end of discussion. Thank you, sir, from Raipur for giving us insight into what the oldest insurgency looks like. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
You were listening to a discussion on India's decisive fight against Naxalism. The participants were MP Nathaniel, former Inspector General, CRPF, and Joseph John, Senior Journalist. The moderator was Rahul Tripathi, Journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Affairs.